Tuesday. Yep, it's Tuesday. Welcome to the stream of consciousness, the bonus hour.
Yeah.
Bill Leff Unleashed, that's what I like to call it.
Now, just for the record, I don't wear a leash when we're downstairs anymore. I did for a while.
It looked good on you.
A leash and a flea collar. Now I don't wear either.
You're grown up.
I'm wearing Cycle 4 now. I'm eating Cycle 4 now. Do they still make that? There was a while where they had Cycle 1, 2, 3, and 4 for depending on the age of your dog. I don't know if they make such a thing anymore, do they?
No, but now there are just too many choices in this big world of ours.
Is that true? Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I am feeding my puppy food because it's a puppy.
Yeah.
And I'm feeding it the food that the foster mother was doing it because you're not supposed to change very quickly because then their innards will get crazy.
Oh, nobody wants that.
They'll have digestive issues because they're used to one food.
Wouldn't that be fun?
But
I see you as a kennel ration woman.
I don't even think they make that anymore.
I don't know if they do.
This food that the foster mother gave Kona, the puppy, is very expensive, and it's from Italy.
Oh, wow. Your dog's eating better than I am.
Can I tell you, the dog has been, both dogs, Tiki and now this new one, Kona, is eating better than the kids.
Yeah.
Because this one has a pumpkin formula, and there's pomegranates in it, and it's like...
Wait, dogs eat pumpkin and pomegranate
stuff? Pumpkin's really good for them.
I didn't know
and
that.
And pomegranate's an antioxidant.
I did know that, but I didn't know dogs were agreeable with pomegranate.
Here's the thing. I'm not a dog, but...
Wait, let that sink in. Let people think about that. All right.
I will bet you that all these different flavors, you know, like there's sweet potatoes.
I bet
they all taste the same.
Yeah, because who's gonna go, I'm getting ripped off here. Let me take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Oh, that does taste like pomegranate.
No dog is going to sit there and go,
right.
Sweet potato.
Right.
Is that a yam?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an Italian type of puppy food. It's
wow.
Like DNN. Something
yep, that's Italian.
Natural, delicious and natural or something.
Oh.
Everything's in Italian on the front of it.
Wow, that's impressive. Your dog has no idea you're going out of your way for...
I didn't know the dog was Italian. I'm half.
Woofa, woofa. All right, in my head, since we've mentioned kennel ration, here's what comes to mind, and I bet you can complete the sentence. My dog's better than your dog. My dog's better than yours. My dog's better because...
Then your dog, because...
He eats kennel ration. My dog's better than yours.
I guess,
that's from, like, the early 70s, right?
Do you remember the gravy train?
Yeah. That was crazy.
It was fun.
That was, the dog was just, like, in the hallway, and then the gravy train, which was like a miniature stagecoach, would come racing down, like it was the Old West, down the hallway into the kitchen, and just vanish into, like,
the
that
cabinet.
Area under your under your sink. Wow. That sold a lot of dog food.
You know
People
what?
Wanted that.
It did. And now there are just a gazillion choices. I see, and that's what I don't like.
What did they change? Like, are they trying to all out-health each other?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
And, you know, there are dogs that do have allergies. Like, in real life, there are people that have gluten sensitivities.
Sure.
Then there are people that have celiac disease that really cannot have gluten at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a minority of people that have sensitivities to gluten. Although, you hear about it and you think everybody has it. I don't know that that's true. So now there are grain-free dog foods and stuff, too. And
what are they using instead of grain?
Vegetables.
Oh,
probably.
Wow.
Mine is gluten-free, my Italian dog food.
Oh.
I think there is some grain in it.
Are you just playing it safe by doing it that way?
Well, here's the thing. I just want to pick a dog food and run with it.
Right.
And I was feeding Tiki wellness dog food before, and it was just deboned chicken and some kind of grain. And Jim accidentally bought grain-free.
Jim.
But the dog adhered to it. It was healthy when we'd take it outside,
so we just
kept giving them grain-free.
Are you giving your dog a probiotic?
They do make them.
Do they for dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't...
Not yet?
I don't want to do it.
No?
I want to just take it for me. I just feel like, you know, I don't know. I just want to get the, I don't want to get the cheapest food, but I'm telling you, I feel like.
But you're sending out for Italy, so you're not getting cheap food.
I'm just keeping it what the foster mom did.
Yeah.
And she, God bless her, gave me like this 30-pound bag that was 70-some dollars that came with the puppy. So I'm not changing it. And
is it like when you get a car and they tell you you have to only give it unleaded gas or premium unleaded gas? It's similar, right?
See, but that's what I have a problem with.
Your dog would still run on regular dog food.
Yeah, but, you know, can I just tell you that, like, Purina dog chow, cat chow, cow chow, horse chow, Purina's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's okay.
Yeah.
It's worked for these many years.
Standard in the pet industry for food.
Yeah, but then you go to the pet shop and they make you feel guilty if you don't get like a really top of the line dog food for your dog.
Yeah, but they still sell it, right? So they can't make you feel too guilty if it's on their shelf.
Yeah, but there are some that are very much expensive. I mean, I don't think my kids have had a vegetable in 2 weeks. But the dog has pomegranates and sweet potatoes. And there's some other item, pumpkin.
When my daughters go for their rabbit food.
Little pellets?
They get, yeah, but it's like an 80-pound bag of it, and it's like $8, and it's like a year's supply. We only go like once a year for it, and it's a huge bag, but it's not expensive at all. It's like...
Because not many people have rabbits.
Is that what it is?
I mean, dogs, oh my God.
But they don't, they're not very discerning eaters either. You know, they just.
Neither are dogs, if you want my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But they make you feel that, I mean, it's just a business that I'm guilty of. I mean, I bought the cutest little llama toy, and he loves it. And then it looks like a llama. It's really cute. And then I bought a tennis ball.
Are dogs and llamas normally friendly?
No. And then
I didn't know that was a thing.
They had a squeak toy that looked like a rabbit, and I'm like, God, Tiki killed probably 8 rabbits in the backyard. I don't want to teach him go after the thing that looks like this, so I thought a llama would be safe.
Because you don't get any llamas in the western suburbs at all anymore.
Mm-mm. But I mean, I'm telling you, collars and, you know, Blackhawks jerseys for your dog.
Really?
I mean, and they're... I'm guilty of some of it, okay? Yes, I am.
Which part are you guilty of?
Well, I buy a lot of toys. I've only had the dog, it's a week tonight.
Yeah.
And I've probably...
You want to keep it busy. You don't want it to ever be bored.
Well, it's just cute when they play with toys.
Yeah.
He had a tennis ball that was just in our house, a tennis ball. What is the pen?
Mm-hmm. They make pen tennis balls.
Just sitting there. He started playing with it.
They're filled with gluten.
Are they?
Yeah.
I took it away because it kept going under the ottoman. Oh. So then I went and got a bigger tennis ball because I'm thinking, this one won't get under the ottoman.
Yeah. Good thinking. Smart move.
But yeah, I just, you know, we spend all our money on pet owners are crazy. Rabbits, you know, if they had rabbit jerseys, I'm sure your girls would get it.
You know, the relationship between my daughters and the rabbit is about what I would expect. Like
a rabbit.
Yeah, it doesn't do any. I mean,
like Dylan with a hermit crab.
Yeah, they're very limited on the amount of things that they can do. You know, and there's no tricks to teach a rabbit. The rabbit just observes. It's the weirdest thing because when you see a rabbit outside, they're always running, right? They're always, but this rabbit just. You know, it knows.
No need
to
run.
Nowhere to go, really.
It's safe.
Where can I go? So it's got three places that it stays. It's under the bed, by the door, or there's like a hallway between my daughter's rooms that has a little small carpet, and it just kind of sits there and just. It's like it's writing a book. It's like taking. It's like looking
observing.
Around.
Yeah, it's
observing.
Sitcom.
Yeah.
The Left Family sitcom is really going to be funny.
It's the weirdest
thing. Written by a rabbit, that'll really sell it.
But right now, there's no rabbits as head writers on any major TV show. On satellite, yes, but not on your networks. So, you know, they don't go out of their way. They spend enough time with it. But, the rabbit's just so docile. It's just,
a low-maintenance pet.
Oh, the lowest. I can't imagine lower maintenance. And I told you, every once in a while, my daughter will either take it outside or show it out, and it looks outside, and then a real rabbit runs by, and they just look at you like, how'd that guy get out there? What happened there? That guy's just running around outside all by himself. What happened?
And never has an accident, the bunny?
No, it's really, it's, I don't know how in the world it could be trained, because Reese got it, Reese and Kylie got it when it was like 3 days old. But
it's litter box trained?
Yeah. That's, isn't that amazing?
Really? No. I mean,
I don't know how they
cats,
do that.
Because cats, I had one cat, Declan, God rest his soul. You just put them in the litter box and rub their paws in it, and then they know to do it. I don't know
that's
how
it?
Or why.
Wow.
Dogs, not so
brilliant.
Easy.
No.
Dogs go wherever they want, when they want. And I will tell you, Kona's pretty cute. I was he was not very good on a leash, and then I thought to myself, he's never been on a leash.
Yeah, it's very foreign.
It is. Yeah. So I took my time, and I would like go, come on, and lead him with a treat to get him to walk further. And now he walks around the block, and I have to tell you, Bill, it is the craziest thing. When a car goes down the street, he freaks out.
Oh,
he never saw a car before, and it's like, wait a minute, there's a giant thing pretty close to me.
Yeah.
The first few times he was like really alarmed, like, what is that? Is that a big dog?
Oh, yeah.
And now he, like, barks at them.
Oh.
It's just silly.
The thing that scares, I think the only thing that scares the rabbit is the vacuum cleaner.
It's pretty
loud.
Like,
if you vacuum anywhere near it, it just, it runs like, you know, it runs to the three spaces. It runs under the bed, and then they go, oh, I'm not safe there. Then to the hallway, and then to the front, and it just doesn't understand that it's not probably going to get vacuumed up.
Yeah, but it doesn't know that.
No.
Although you'd think after like 40 times
right.
of seeing it, it would
oh,
go.
So many times.
It's just loud.
Yeah, right. And the other thing that scared it for a little while was there's a vaporizer in the room. And when you first turned it on, you could see the rabbit like looking all directions like, oh, no, vapor. Rabbits
They're
hate vapor.
They're trying to poison me.
Right. I didn't think rabbits would have such an aversion to vapor. But this rabbit just goes, oh, come on with the vapor.
Rabbits are so cute, but if you look at a squirrel, they're the same thing. They just have smaller ears and a bigger tail.
Well, a squirrel to me looks more rat-like than rabbit-like, doesn't it?
No, it looks like a rabbit with its ears cut off.
Oh, maybe.
They're both, yeah. They're cute.
They get the pass because of the tail. Without the tail, we'd be hunting squirrels all the time, right?
Oh, I think people are hunting squirrels.
Are they?
I think so.
I didn't know that.
What did, oh, it was a raccoon cap. Daniel
yeah.
Boone had that, right?
Yeah.
Was it
yeah.
Daniel Boone?
No. Davy Crockett.
Davy, Daniel,
Crockett.
What's the difference?
Davy Crockett.
Yeah. Our cleaning lady was at the house today, so Kona experienced the vacuum for the first time. I wonder how that went.
You don't
went.
Know what happened yet.
I don't want to know. I'm getting my hair done after work. I'm going to try and avoid the puppy today. I'm starting training classes on Thursday.
And what will they teach the dog at these classes? Just to not go to the bathroom everywhere?
No, they will teach me how to train the dog.
Oh, is that
like,
right?
To sit,
yeah.
to stay.
So the dog doesn't actually attend these classes? Or
yeah, no, the dog's yeah? there, but I have to learn how to do it. And here's the thing that you know about me. I have to follow through.
Oh, yeah, you can't just be there. You have to do what they tell you, right.
And I have to practice it, and I am a lazy pet owner. So I got to work with this dog. We're going to be doing classes, and... you know, I gotta just take him out more.
Yeah.
So cute.
Yeah.
So cute.
I wish you could bring him in, but unfortunately, you know.
Oh, everyone's
rules,
asked me, so I might be bringing him next
are
week.
Very strict about
yeah,
that sort
next
of thing.
Week, I think.
Can't. I have a sick day next week. It's so funny to watch what pets do to people. They just become like infants when they see a
I
pet.
Know.
It's the strangest thing. They speak a language that you, like, I've seen people that would never, ever talk baby talk in a million years just become mush because they see a dog or a cat.
Jimmy Mack talks the baby talk.
Does he really? I would not have guessed that from him.
It's, you're either a dog lover or, I mean, an animal lover, but dogs, there's something about a puppy. I mean, you know, I had babies and no one came over. I got a puppy and people on the block got wind of it and everyone was coming over to visit the puppy.
Mm.
Everyone, except you.
I wouldn't, yeah. I can't.
But that's all right.
There's, in our neighborhood, there's a cat, and I don't know who the cat belongs to.
Outdoor cat?
I guess, because that's the only time I see it
yeah,
is outside, so I don't know.
Worries me.
So, almost every time I get in my car, it likes to stay in the bushes that belong to our next-door neighbor, but it is not our next-door neighbor's cat. I don't know why it's chosen those bushes, but that's where it stays.
It's where the mice hang out.
Is that
out.
Why?
Maybe.
I don't know. So when almost any time I go to my car to get in the car to drive somewhere, it comes out, it's got a certain distance that it feels is the right distance, and it just stares at me. It doesn't blink.
That's what cats do.
But you know how I always say cats spend most of their day plotting your death?
Yeah.
this cat proves that theory, because it's just got its look like, what could I do to really screw with this guy? It's just got that look on its face all the time. What could I possibly do to make his day awful? It's just, that's the look on its face.
I get that. And cats are intriguing to me. I only had one because I lived in an apartment where they didn't want pets. So I thought it would be easier to hide a cat than a dog. And,
probably.
You know, I was very lucky to get Declan the cat because I adopted him from a humane society. And I lied to the woman and said that my mom was my landlord.
Oh.
And they said, oh, well, so she's fine with you getting a cat. And I said, why wouldn't she? And they're like, could we call her? And I'm like, oh, it's Saturday. She's probably out shopping.
Yeah.
And they said, well, that's okay. We can leave a message. So I reluctantly wrote down my mom's number. I did not have a chance to give her a little heads up, talk on anything. She did know I was going to look to adopt a cat. And the woman on the phone, all I heard was her side of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I hear her go, hi, Mrs. Snyder. We have your daughter, Wendy, here. And she'd like to bring home a cat.
Hmm.
Oh, that's okay with you? Well, great. Thank you. If she would have said one thing like, Wendy tells me you're the landlord. Mm-hmm. Is it okay? My mom would not have lied for me.
Probably
not. The way she worded it was just so
worked out.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And then I brought Declan home, and I didn't know how to deal with cats. I never had a cat before. Always a dog person. And he was really cool. It's just he...
But isn't there there's an attitude...
Aloofness.
I guess it's aloofness, but it also looks like they're trying to figure out how to outsmart you. You know what I mean?
Well, they're just cool. They're just... They are. They just, like... They're so sophisticated. They don't get riled. They just look like they got it all under control. And I've met some cats since having Declan. Declan was kind of aloof, and he'd cuddle with me. But then when Jim moved in, he liked Jim better than me.
Oh.
Because Jim always had cats in his life. And so I think he knew how to pet them behind the ear more. I don't know. Right. But some of Jim's cats over the years have been very much like dogs, where they come and meet you and they're really excited. Declan was very standoffish. He'd come to me when he'd feel like it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And I don't know if all cats are like that. I only had one. I'll only have one.
They just seem evil to me. I know they're not. I know it's impossible that they can all be evil, but every cat I've ever seen is evil. I'm sure that's not 100% of the cats in the world. But all the cats I've ever seen have been evil.
This one, the one hiding in your neighbor's bushes, doesn't pounce on you or anything.
No, there's never been that. And there used to be another cat, and I know whose cat this was. This was a friend of ours, his cat, would always come like to where our back, like where our patio is.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes, like one time I was getting food ready because I was going to grill food, and all of a sudden it showed up and it was near the food.
See, that's why I don't like when people let their cats out.
Yeah. For that, but I started banging on the window. So the cat's first move was like that stance, like "uh-oh, I could be attacked from some." So and it looked and saw me in the window, and then it gave me a look like, "What are you gonna do?" That was the look I got from the cat. Just stay away from the food. What are you gonna do about it?
I could not have an outdoor cat because if they didn't come home that night, which sometimes it happens,
you'd worry.
I couldn't sleep.
They're out destroying,
gallivanting.
Prey. Yeah,
meeting up with Brian Setzer somewhere.
Yeah, probably. Wouldn't be surprised.
And then I just feel like we had a cat that used to come and like it'd be on our porch and stuff, and it's like, get out of
here.
You
don't want that.
I don't have a cat,
right.
So cats aren't allowed.
Right.
It's not, I don't want it there.
No.
Keep your cats inside, people.
Yeah, because they're evil, all of them.
Not evil.
All of them are.
Baby.
We'll take a quick break, and then Judy Pilak, who is not evil.
Oh.
Wait, word is just coming in.
Yeah.
She may be evil, so she'll give you the news next. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
April snow showers bring May flowers.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't think that's
Judy. I was
goes.
Knitting during the news. Did you say that it's supposed to snow on Thursday?
Tonight,
opening
day, right?
Opening day.
No, I did not. Wednesday, I said.
Wednesday.
Yes, right. I didn't even give you Thursdays.
Because there have been the White Sox had a game snowed out in Kansas City. The New York game
it was rained out. Because I think they still
snowing.
Play in the snow, don't they?
No.
Yeah.
No.
It happens sometimes, not often.
Yeah, I thought it doesn't matter if it's cold. They still play.
Wow.
Not if it's
That's
snowing.
What I thought. Well, yeah, if it's a really harsh snow, but...
I've never seen a game played in a blizzard, but I have seen it where snow flurries are falling during games. Yeah.
I mean, and then we, you know, I've been to some Cubs games.
I've been to a Cubs game with snow, two of them.
Yeah, I mean, where, and it's not even
really?
The snow.
Yeah.
When it's snowing, it's at least you know it's not that cold.
Right.
But it's been bitter cold.
Right. And JT Snow, Wendy, plays for the Angels. You know that. He's an outfielder.
No, I did not. Speaking of snow.
Yeah, speaking of snow. Downstairs, we started talking about the drug problem.
Yes.
You know, the kids with the drugs. It's
yes.
a problem.
Well, we have a real problem here in Illinois now.
It's getting very serious.
Right.
It really is.
56 people.
All right, so we know
and they're bleeding from their eyes and their ears and their nose. It's like the Ebola from the synthetic marijuana, which isn't marijuana, people.
Yeah.
Well, synthetic right there tells you it's not marijuana. It's synthetic.
I know, but people were saying that it's not marijuana, so don't call it synthetic marijuana.
But it's lumped into that category.
It is. It's called synthetic marijuana means fake marijuana.
Right.
Means it's not real.
It's not.
It's not real marijuana.
It's not the herb that my mom grew in the backyard because my brother thought it would be fun to plant seeds and see what happened, and my mom thought it was the most beautiful plant ever. And then when she found out what it was, she goes, "Are you kidding me? What if a police officer is walking through my backyard?
They would come and arrest you."
Your mom was like the El Chapo of the western suburbs.
Yeah,
she was.
El
and
at least she didn't go to the forest preserve and do that.
Right, and we lived right near a park.
That's funny.
And here's another thing she did. My poor mother, who was just so naive. We went to Canada, and she brought my brother a belt buckle that she thought was the maple leaf.
Your brother sounds like...
And my brother never smoked pot in his life.
Oh, that's funny. Wow. He liked the look of it.
He roomed with someone at ISU who was a big pot smoker, so he'd bring seeds home. My brother, to this day, loves practical jokes and can wait for them. Not unlike you.
Yeah.
Like, he would plant seeds and wait for them to grow, like, a few months just to, like, go, yeah, my mom's got weed in her backyard. My mom would go, oh, yeah, that's funny. No, Mom.
It's real.
Oh,
yeah.
That is funny.
Wow.
I didn't even know that I'd recognize it.
All right.
I guess I would.
Go through what's going on with the synthetic.
Yes. So what's happening are people are buying the synthetic fake. It's not marijuana. It's just a chemical drug.
And they know it's fake.
Well, I don't know. I guess I can't say. But I'm thinking if people are buying drugs off the street.
Where it's not regulated.
Right. And because here's the thing. Pot, it costs a lot of money. It's not like it's cheap to buy real pot. And you have to, you know, you have to have a drug dealer. You have to go whatever. So I think I'm pretty sure about this, but I guess I'll have to check myself.
Yeah.
Before
you wreck yourself.
Yeah. I'm thinking that people are buying it because it's cheaper and more available and it's easy to get and make. It's a chemical. It's synthetic. It's
so
not
some of
the
this
real
is
stuff.
Driven by
you know,
price.
You have to plant the plant, like Wendy said. You have to cultivate it. You have to.
Yeah.
And pot's not like when we were younger. It was, you know, you could buy it cheap. It's not like that anymore. It's costly.
How much was I don't even remember what it was called.
A
dime
lid?
Yeah. What was a lid?
I don't know. $20.
Yeah.
It was cheap. And I mean, and the synthetic, it's like.
There's a place called Lids by me, but I think they sell hats. I'm pretty sure they just sell hats.
But although I'll bet you they have pipes and stuff.
Well, maybe a head shop.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's like meth. It's easy to make. It's, you know, well, now we're trying to make it harder, and you have to show your ID.
Meth is easy to make?
Yes, which is why meth is not a problem in the big cities. Because, no, it's not a good business venture.
Because of the markup.
Well, no, because it's cheap. Anybody can. You can make meth out of cough syrup and I don't know some other horrid chemicals
Sudafed.
That you. Yeah, meth being to me always like the worst thing I can think of.
That's what they had in Breaking Bad,
yeah.
right? That's
yes,
the drug in
yes.
Breaking Bad.
So it's not. Which okay, go. That lies.
But can I just tell
my
you
my theory right here?
Listen,
Breaking Bad, he made millions, but
a pot smoker is. There are people that smoke pot that are not into other drugs.
Well, sure.
And those, you know, so my fear with the synthetic marijuana is explaining to my kids, you know what? I hope you don't do drugs till you're 21. By the time you're 21, marijuana will probably be legal. Then your brain's fully formed. Go ahead, do what you need to do.
Right. Of course, there is also the argument, though, that it's a gateway drug that.
Yeah, but alcohol is a gateway drug, too.
To what?
To anything. If you're wasted and somebody goes, hey, I've got some weed. Do you want to smoke it? Yeah, sure. Hey, I got some cocaine. You want to try it? Sure. That's, you know, if you're under the influence.
A little bit more tenuous, but yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying I agree one way or the other. I'm just saying there are the critics who will say,
right.
smoking pot, and then you're like, you're not, which is how I think the synthetic drugs come into play. It's like, so it's somehow not enough, or it's cheap, it's just more available, cheaper, whatever. My feeling is probably cheaper, the synthetic stuff. So people are buying it, you know, knowing
knowing they know there's more.
Yeah,
risk.
They might know it's synthetic, but they don't care. It's like why people do fentanyl.
Yeah.
You know, I think people who do fentanyl, I think they're trying to get a score of heroin. And I, again, could be totally wrong, but I'm thinking they're trying to score and get heroin. Somebody has cut it with fentanyl and doesn't know the dosages because they're not an expert. And that person dies from fentanyl.
Possibly.
You open a beer, you know what's inside.
Right.
You get street drugs, you don't know what's in it. And there usually is other stuff in it.
Right. But, I mean, heroin and fentanyl are never going to be legal if that's what you're...
No,
I mean, it's not
never
even like,
said
yeah. So the bottom line is when you do drugs... And you buy them off the streets, or any, and even if you take your parents' drugs and do them, I mean, there's an inherent huge risk, of course, of dying every single time.
Yep.
And especially on the street where you don't know. Now, also, my idea, my knowledge of fentanyl is heroin's one thing, which is also a chemical, and you know, but it's been around forever and people do it. And obviously, we know this.
Yeah.
Because that's why we have an opioid crisis. It's all about heroin.
Yeah.
Don't fool yourselves. I mean, I think, I know we call it the opioid crisis now, but really,
but it's still heroin.
But now it's also the fentanyl. There are more people dying of fentanyl than heroin. Not so much, Wendy, what you say, but probably true. But fentanyl is even a more powerful drug.
So they OD accidentally.
Right. And let me tell you, anytime you buy drugs on the street, it is going to be cut with something. You are never going to buy a pure drug, even probably your marijuana.
That's why I think...
Every single time, know in your head when you're going to snort that powder, that is cut with something, and who knows what.
Ammons baby powder.
And in this case, with the fake cannabinoids, let's just call it cannabinoids, which means fake pot, it's cut with a chemical they use in rat poison, which is why it's making them bleed from the ears, mouth,
because that's how rat poison
eyes.
Works.
That's
right.
Not a good high, I got to tell you.
And no. You know what? Who knows? I mean, to me, the person who's even going to try that... And knowing that, you know, you've got to know it's,
I feel they don't know. I feel they're trying to get a joint and, oh, this guy's got a great price. I mean, you know, I've seen all the TV news reports where, you know, the Eisenhower is the, you know, path to heroin heaven.
Right.
You drive down.
It's called the heroin highway.
Is it really?
The Eisenhower
yeah.
is
yes.
heroin highway?
I got a Merle for that. Yes.
Yes.
Congratulations. I called it that 10 years ago when I first
Because people come
did.
Down to the west side yeah. and it's easier for somebody
to get
to score
on and off.
Heroin than it is to buy beer like what we used to do underage.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Of course it is. Yep.
Which scares me.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know?
It should, because the opioid crisis is about heroin.
But these people, and there are a lot of young suburbanites that are driving down the heroin highway to get a score. I think they just want to, hey, let's go get some. Let's go
right.
to this area and
here's
see if
how,
we can find.
Here's how the heroin thing's working. Because why would you? No one wants to stick a needle in their arm. Nobody wants to do that, especially a young rich white boy from the suburbs is not going to stick a needle in his arm, but he will snort it.
Which I didn't even know you could do. That's how dumb I am.
And then what happens after you snort it a couple of times? Now you're sticking the needle in your arm because it's taking 20 minutes for it to happen when you snort it, and you could get it immediately. That's how it happens.
And that's how you become addicted, and that's how your life is
ruined.
Very
few people beat heroin. That's just a fact. It's just a fact.
So the signs that used to say Eisenhower now say heroin highway when you're driving.
No. And trust me, when I did my series on it, yeah. I remember I was working with an officer who was really helpful in getting me even a heroin addict to talk to.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, let's go buy some on the Eisenhower because
wow.
I wanted to hear that.
Well, yeah.
They stand out there and they chant, white girl, China white, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
They, you know, and then
That's
you just
the type
go
of
by
heroin.
And boom. Yeah. You make the transaction. And you get off the Eisenhower,
yeah.
And you make the transaction, you get right back on and go home.
Oh,
that's why
quick and easy,
quick
easy
and easy
on, easy
yeah.
off.
And I'm not, you know, that was at least 10 years ago. I don't know that so much.
So why
it is
aren't
anymore.
There police officers
right, I'm
patrolling
you,
that area?
I don't think it is anymore. I think they're.
It's still
they have
easy
gotten,
to get, from what I hear.
It's easy to get.
And
there's
all
a
this
market for heroin,
and you know, heroin.
Is there a fentanyl freeway?
You know why there's a market for heroin? Because sooner or later, that heroin addict, they'll go to fentanyl. Oh. That high's better.
Yeah, that's but how this all starts is, and this blows my mind too, with two kids with ADHD, since second grade, I have been trying to find the perfect cocktail medicines for my children. So when the medicine has been changed, I throw it in a drawer in the kitchen. So I had two junk drawers just filled with prescriptions we weren't using anymore, yeah, and wasn't really paying attention to them. And then finding out that a lot of these kids are having like med parties where they're grabbing, yep, painkillers from their family, which kind of introduces them into the, which pain pills are not fun, I gotta tell you. They make me sick to my stomach.
I know. You wish, you know,
they
the
put
best,
you to sleep.
The best ad I ever saw was for meth, when meth was, you know, when they were really worried about meth, and then it, and they should, it's still a worrisome, it's really a rural problem. Rural, there are small towns across America that have just been decimated by meth. Okay. Parents, done. They do meth. They're leaving their children without parents, their, wow, homes. It's horrible. But the best billboard I ever saw was, you know, here's what happens when you do meth. There's a picture of a woman and her teeth are completely rotted out. I mean, it's
what is referred to as meth mouth.
Meth mouth. It, yeah, was it so disgusting. I thought, it's meth mouth. It's so disgusting that I'm thinking that's why I think kids don't hopefully do meth.
Yeah.
But
But I knew that smoking would give me cancer someday, yet I still smoked. So, I mean, you know, yeah, I could get meth mouth, but it's not going to happen to me.
Yeah, but it's such a real visual. It's, you know, cancer is kind of, you know, it's somewhere you don't really see it.
Yeah.
This is like, this is going to happen to you when you do meth. I mean, maybe that's one thing the president did say about restarting the Say No to Drugs campaign, because I don't know what the answer is. Maybe that is a start, because kids are still trying drugs. It's amazing.
But didn't they say when they did that, it was the Say No to Drugs campaign, the Nancy Reagan Say No to Drugs campaign, that drugs actually increased because people thought they were so ridiculous Nancy Reagan was telling people,
right? Yeah, you need the meth billboard. You need to show what happens to the hair. You know, I think just last month or the month before, Time Magazine devoted their whole issue to heroin.
Oh, really?
A day in the life of oh my gosh, the pictures, the stories.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's disgusting. You know, it's like, it's one thing to say it, but how do you show someone?
Yeah.
That your life will be over.
Yeah.
When you're a heroin addict, you don't, that's all you do. It's all you think about. It's all you do. And I understand the whole concept too of people who are on pain. You know, someone breaks their hip. You know, a 40-year-old guy breaks his hip.
Mm-hmm.
And it's painful and he's on painkillers. And then, you know, that is how you graduate sometimes to heroin. Many times, probably.
And my orthopedic surgeon who did my knee surgery, they gave me two refills. That's it. They won't, you know, any pain? I said, yeah, on a scale from 1 to 10. I'm like, probably 1 or 2. Could I get some pain pills? No.
I had to sign a sheet saying I understand the ramifications of what happens. And you know what? I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved that, whatever it was. Vicodin or, I mean, I was breaking them in half, and because they do, it's not even, to me, it wasn't really a high, it was more because I did have some pain.
Yeah.
It was uncomfortable though. And I should have, and what I had to, you know, do after a while was just get past it.
Sure.
You know, it was like, yeah, I'm uncomfortable, but that's just the way
it is. But that's the natural progression.
Right.
That's the way it should play out.
But imagine, like, the lives of these people that are addicted to heroin must be pretty sucky in order for them to just would rather feel nothing than live their existence. And when we talk about it like this, it breaks my heart to think of people that are listening right now that have a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife who's addicted to heroin right now, and there's still shame, and there shouldn't be.
Right.
There shouldn't be.
But you need
to ask for help.
Yeah,
you got to go, this
so
is a big
hard,
problem.
Though. That's the thing about heroin. It's all you think about, apparently. It's just,
I've heard that too.
It consumes your, think about just the minor painkiller you might be doing that we've done. I just said the Vicodin, or I think it was probably Vicodin that I did,
mm-hmm,
that I was like, oh, this stuff, yeah, this is great. This is, it makes, you know, I have no uncomfortableness. I can sleep through the night. Think about that is like minuscule compared to heroin, such a more powerful drug. So it's consuming. So you don't even care. You care about nothing but getting the next shot of heroin.
When I tore my calf muscle playing tennis last year, they wrote me a prescription. I went to the hospital. They told me what was wrong, what would I need to do. So they wrote me a prescription to something, and they go, it's highly addictive. And I go, so much so that we want you to sign this saying that when you're done with it, you'll flush the rest of it or you get rid of the rest of it and stuff like that. And I go, when you say highly addictive, how addictive? And they go, it's really it's a problem for a lot of people. So I wasn't anticipating one, but I said, I'm not gonna fill the prescription. I'll take what you give me today. And then I'm done with it because I didn't want to have to worry about that.
But now there are also people like with a knee replacement, doctors, therapists, everyone, take your pain medication. Because if you don't, you won't go through the therapy and I wouldn't be able to use my knee. Because if you're in pain, you're scared and you're not going to bend it and move it. So they are definitely, there's a reason you get them. And the abuse of them is what the problem is. And there are people like I have a highly addictive personality. I'll eat Toll House cookies for 3 months straight and then won't have them for 2 years. You know, I smoked cigarettes for years because I have a very addictive personality. I took the pain pills and I tried after week one to get off of them and it wasn't, I couldn't do as much as I should have at physical therapy. So I took them just before therapy. That was it.
Yeah.
So there are ways to go around
them. You're off of them now.
It's, you know, I've been off as of a culture, though, we need to have a new mindset. It is because the fact is the doctors are, they don't want you to be in pain. Well, maybe, you know, then, I mean, a little pain doesn't kill anyone.
No even pain, like me, no gain, Judy Pilak.
When you have cancer, let me tell you, they don't want you to be at a one. They don't even want you to be at a one. It was almost overwhelming how I'm like, oh, I'm fine. I mean, no, any pain, they want to keep you so. And, you know, that's just
what's
the mindset.
What's with that? What's behind that?
They're caring people.
They don't want you to experience
the pain. It's like you have cancer. It's painful. You should never experience pain because you have this horrible thing happening to you.
But if the flip side of that is the potential of being hooked on this.
Now that's what we're learning now. It's not this. I don't think the doctors, it wasn't a concern.
And there were some doctors getting kickbacks from what I read. Right. But I don't think by any means it's the majority of doctors.
And there are people who abuse it. There are people who abuse alcohol. My back is killing me. And they'll go in. And I mean, I had a relative who was in and out of rehab. And that's what she did. She was really good at getting those prescriptions.
Right.
I mean, there are people addicted to prescription drugs. Oh, my God. That's what's fueling that opioid crisis, too.
Right.
Because now when you can't get a prescription from your doctor anymore,
easier to get heroin.
You go get heroin from someone who'll give it to you. Yes.
Scary. Mm-hmm. Very scary.
Well, I don't know what needs to be done, but we do need to keep it in the conversation and we have to eliminate the guilt of, you know, you should be able to go, you know what? My son's an addict and I need help. And not have people shun you and look at you funny.
Right. And I mean, what's happening here in Illinois right now, people have to understand that it is so, it's a death sentence. If you do this synthetic drug, two people have already died.
Right.
They have died.
It's
because,
horrible.
Yeah, it
horrible.
Is horrible. And the only way to be safe is to say no. Gotta say no.
Jeez. Or trust your dealer.
Right.
Don't trust your dealer ever.
If there's one message.
Every dealer is untrustworthy. Let me just say that. I can say that with absolute certainty.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Thank you, Judy,
absolutely.
For hanging out.
Appreciate it.
We'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what's coming up on Sports Central next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.